time to listen to the interviews from last Saturday's Island Life. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning by Island, stockist of Waiheke's most eclectic collection of local gifts, art and clothing. You'll find them in Ocean View Road, Oniroa. Last Saturday morning, Emma Bower-Warner talked to gardener James from Green Space Landscapes. She talked to Fiona Gregory from the Waiheke Community Education Centre, mining protester Rebecca Potts, New Ager Nevi Morrison, Dee Ostring from the Artworks Complex, Kim from the Community Art Gallery, Gary Wilton from Auckland City Council.
Well, we've got James from Gardening Green Space Landscapes on the island today with us. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Emma. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Just get a little... That's lovely. Yes. I'll just turn you up there a little touch. So, how's your week been going?
Well, it's continues to be very nice, the weather, doesn't it?
And I know, but not so good for the old plants, is it?
No, there's a few sad-looking plants out there at the moment. They're all sort of starting to really struggle, even some of the more established plants.
So, really?
Yeah. So I even got a message from someone yesterday about a hedge, a Grisolinia hedge, and those hedges are renowned in Auckland for being quite durable. And this person wanted to be able to, you know, to keep it alive. So, you know, and that's really unusual for those types of plants to be drooping at this stage.
Especially, oh, really?
Yeah, we should be getting a lot of autumn rain, but we're not.
So we should. Yeah. I mean, I forget sometimes, sort of with the weather changes, because sometimes my mind goes back onto to the old UK ones, and I'm thinking, how much rain would we normally have? We'd normally be pretty rainy by now, wouldn't we?
We would. I think we'd be getting showers possibly every other day,
and substantial showers within that as well. Ones that would actually start to pump up our water tank.
Yes, and I think someone was telling me the other day it takes almost 12 hours of rain, depending on the quantity, of course, but that sort of time frame for your water tanks to be
really
topped up from empty. So, you know, it's quite dire out there, really, and you know, that's sort of some of the things I'm going to talk about today with in terms of what to do this month, because you've got to take that into account with your garden.
Of course, absolutely, because, I mean, water is incredibly precious, particularly at the moment. So we're three quarters of the way through April?
What should we
be doing, Mr. Green Space Landscape Limited?
Yes, well, we should be almost... we should be at the point now where the garden is starting to look... certainly starting to look a little bit tired, and that's okay. If you've got a perennial garden, things will start to slow down.
Perennial
being
comes. Sorry. I mean, of course,
It's a plant that comes back every year.
That's the one.
You can cut it back, and it reflowers or blooms. What have you. And perennial can be also a native as well as a exotic plant. So
right. Yep. So, what it just digressing ever so slightly. Mm-hmm. From I know what you've got planned to talk about, but what are your views on the non-native plants on the island? Do you try, for instance, within your designs to mainly include natives, or do you have a sort of mixture of both? What are your views?
I think, you know, if it depends on what the client wants, of course.
Sure.
And first of all, and then secondly, you need to think about if the plant is going to be exotic. I mean, I don't mind exotics as long as they're not invasive. So,
right.
For instance, if you're going to use, up here in the north, agapanthers, they have people either love them or they're a pest.
Right, and what's the common name for Agapanthus again?
I think just Agapanthus is...
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, I think that's actually the genus, but correct me if I'm wrong. But then there are varieties of them. So if you have a dwarf variety of Agapanthus, that's not as invasive as perhaps some of the larger leafed Agapanthus, the ones that you see almost everywhere on the island. Mm. So, but certainly, you know, I think you can't exclusively plant with natives, because I think you're reducing your palette of what you can do.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, so, I mean, of course you are, of course. Mm. And also a lot of the exotics are the very colourful ones as well, aren't they?
Mm. Well, there is one plant that I was going to speak about this morning. I'll speak about it now, if you like. Is the protea, which is a South African plant.
Yeah.
And the other day I noticed. Well, they're a winter flowering plant, so you get a lovely red. Sometimes I think almost blue, orange blooms. And they are very suited to Waiheke, especially if you live up on the sort of a ridge.
Right, where you're going to get buffeted by the winds.
Yeah, they love the wind. You know, they love the wind.
They should be in my garden then.
They love the wind. They love being neglected, except for being perhaps deadheaded every so often.
Right.
And they...
I never know when to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I never know when I should... should deadhead or just let them go naturally?
Yeah, well, it depends on the plant, but I think you can sort of tell when, like for instance, when roses, if you have a carpet rose, they tend to bloom continuously.
Yeah.
And you'll notice that when the petals, for instance, start to fall off, then that's time to, you know, to trim them up.
They're so quite obvious, I suppose, from that perspective. But some of the plants, you're just not sure. Mm. Well, I'm not being too experienced a gardener.
Mm. Mm. Well, and then the protea, again, has this enormous flower head, and all you seem to do, all you can do, you don't even need secateurs. You can just literally just pull the head off.
Okay.
There's another one that's very similar called a nodding pincushion tree, which has...
A nodding pincushion tree. Oh, I like the name of that one.
Yeah, Leucospermum is the genus. And they have wonderful either red... or green, yellow flower bloom heads with sort of pins. They have a very sort of fine, hence the name. So,
right.
Yeah. So, no, I think if a protea or leucospermum or those sorts of plants, if you've got a garden where you can't water it, or it's on a sort of an elevated site where you've got very poor soil, then those are the sorts of plants to think about.
If because
this month is really plants are starting to slow down in their growth, and everything's starting to just wind down. And I think it is the time of the month, May being the time to just sort of have a look at your garden and think about what you might want to do, what you could do differently. And to redesign, if you like. You know, if you're a bit tired of some spots, then now's the time to think about what you'd like to do next in your garden.
Okay, so it's the right sort of time to be planning for next year and looking at what you should be planting and when that would be.
Mm.
Right, okay.
Mm. Yeah. So in the vegetable garden, certainly... and other areas, of course, it's time to perhaps add some fertiliser.
Okay, so let's take a step backwards about the vegetable garden, because as you know, I have been talking for the last few years about doing one, but keep thinking, oh, I'm moving house, so I won't bother. But now I've decided I've just got to get on with it, because frankly, it's a must-have, isn't it, really, in this day and age.
Mm.
So... have I left it to completely the wrong time of year to try and get a vegetable garden going? So what would be the simplest way? I mean, for instance, a friend of mine, John Stansfield, he said, just throw some cardboard on the ground, bit of soil, and get on with it. Mm. So he's basically telling me to just get on with it and stop fushing around.
Exactly, yeah.
and I kind of agree with that. Mm. But what would, from a a landscaping and gardening perspective, what would you say? Have I left it too late? Is it really the wrong time to even be thinking about it, or the right time?
No, no, I think it is the right time because you
is it? Yeah. See, I thought I just assumed. Mm. Oh, I've blown it again for another year. Yeah. No.
Well, when I started doing some gardening and what have you years ago, I thought that everything started at Labour weekend and everything, you know, and you get your little seedlings out and you plant them and off you go. But it's actually, as I sort of got into it more and more and then as a profession, it's a continual thing, you know, every month something is happening and that's especially true for the vegetable garden. For instance, if you could now plant your cabbages, cauliflower, onions, broccoli, even here in the north you can plant lettuces still.
Can you really?
Yeah, broad beans. Something that I planted the other day which I was quite interested in is the Chinese cabbage, which I thought was quite interesting.
Oh, are they the little sort of purpley ones? Which ones are they?
They are green and they've got a tighter leaf, sort of leathery, thicker. So they almost look like they would be more of a cabbage than a lettuce.
Yes, yes, so, yeah. More crinkly. Yes, yes, yes.
Mm. And they look quite good too. I mean, really, all you need to have is an area in your garden that has around about 6 hours of sunlight. That would be ideal for a vegetable garden, or you know, a little bit less is okay. And then from there, you know, you just need to have the soil. Because it's Waiheke and certain sites are a loamy clay soil, you'll either need to lime and fertilise or import sort of compost or garden mix.
Would definitely need to do that in our garden because basically it's just clay.
Yeah.
I don't really think we have soil.
Mm.
So it would definitely be a case of starting from scratch. And so you could just, nip down to...
You could nip down to the, you know, the local, the central landscapes or the... they always seem to have some, you know, they're always very friendly and they give you good advice on what sort of soil to use. But I tend to use something called... a garden mix, which is a mixture of topsoil and a compost, and make sure it's weed free, of course, because then otherwise you're not going to be weeding your vegetable garden rather than.
Would you recommend putting one of those weed mats down?
I think.
Or do you not bother?
Well, I'd probably do a raised garden. There's people sort of and ah about them, but I quite like them because they. They're a good height to work with, especially if you know if you've got a sore back or what have you. The second thing is they can look quite a feature, because an actual small miniature vegetable garden or herb garden is called a potager, and I quite like the fact that some landscape gardens have the potager as an aesthetic. Element to the garden as well as a productive and functional.
Okay.
Hmm.
Okay. So it is the right time of year. It's not the wrong time of year to get going. And from what you're saying, there's still plenty of opportunity, plenty of time to grow stuff. Now, does that stop sort of at a certain point? I mean, we can't grow. Do we grow? Oh, are there things we can grow? Ask my question correctly. Right through the year in our veggie gardens.
Yeah, I think if you if you're going to sow certain varieties of vegetables, then you are starting to think about plants or produce for the spring. So you can certainly keep on top of that, and that's sort of more. I can sort of talk about that more next time with regards to May June, because that's when things start to get quite cooling off. But really, if you're thinking about the flower garden as opposed to the vegetable garden, you need to be thinking about waiting to the second half of May, perhaps, before you think about transplanting any trees. Traditionally, it starts now, but I'd probably wait.
Before we move on to the tree section, which I know we're going to talk about, I think it's time now for a little bit of music. We'll just have a little musical interlude,
no problem.
And then we'll come right back with Chris. with Chris. No, I'm sorry. I was just thinking then of what else is coming on. I've got James here from Green Space Landscapes, and we're going to carry on talking with the gardening slot. Thank you. We're just finishing up with James here. Welcome back. And we asked last month for a couple of, well, asked if anybody had any questions and they wanted to email into me. And so we got a couple of questions, didn't we, of people that had some gardening questions for you.
Yes, we did, Emma. We had two questions. One about planting a tree.
Uh-huh.
Of course, the second question was looking at maybe doing some pruning, because
right.
Now is the time for perhaps some, if you didn't do any late summer pruning, then mm-hmm. it's a good time to think about, especially for your peach tree.
Right. Okay, so it's good time for pruning. Good.
Yep.
Okay, so I hope that answers your question.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever, we didn't actually get the names of who wrote in. And then the other question was?
Planting a tree. Well, how does one plant a tree? And,
right.
And I suppose you could think of it as a very very simple exercise,
mm-hmm.
With a bit of back-breaking labour involved sometimes. But I always say to people, if they're going to plant a tree, make sure that it's going to cope with the site that you're going to put it in.
Right.
So
do a little bit of checking first, basically.
Mm, yeah. And then the actual... Once you know that that tree's going to be all right where it's going to be planted, it's really important to dig a decent hole,
sure.
Something that's going to be at least twice as big as the root ball.
Right.
That would be preferable.
Uh-huh.
And actually, again, bringing in some compost that you may have produced from your garden or
right.
Something to add into... And to put around the tree before you actually put in the bulk or the soil that you've dug up.
Sure.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm.
All right. Okay. Well, that's that's really helpful. Mm. Thank you so much for coming in, James.
No problem.
As always, it's really entertaining speaking with you. And basically, anybody that's listening, if you've got a gardening question, please flick me an email at studio@wahikiradio.org.nz or through the website itself. You can send a query. Address it to me, Emma, for Island Life, and I'll make sure that it gets through to James and we have an answer for you this time next month. So once again, thanks very much, James.
Thank
and
you,
we'll
Emma.
See you next time, this time next month. Well, welcome to the studio. We have Fiona Gregory with us today. Hi, Fiona.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for coming in, because I know you have been drafted in at the last minute. I phoned up about 8:30 this morning going, hey, I think you should come on the radio today, because I know you haven't really got a hectic day planned.
Always got time to come on the radio.
Oh, I know you do really enjoy it, don't you, when you come on? So Fiona is here from the Wahiki Community Education Centre, and what I wanted you to come on and talk about is really, it's the new term, isn't it, for the sessions. And I had a look in the Gulf News the other day and was just like, wow, you're getting some really interesting courses coming along, aren't you?
I think there's a really good range of courses on this term, and it just is a testament to the talent that we have on this island, the tutors that are available to teach courses. It's really wonderful.
Excellent. So let's talk about a few, because the courses haven't started yet, have they? Because I've got to be honest, there's about two or three that I would love to do myself, time permitting. This sustainable living course, this looks so cool.
It is really cool. That one is actually being supported by Auckland City Council as well. It's a bit of a partnership
right.
that we have. So it's a very affordable course. It's only $30 for 4 weeks.
Wow.
There was a free workshop last weekend, which I actually attended myself, and it was a very interesting, thought-provoking course, but also quite fun.
Uh-huh.
Ian, the tutor, has a very positive outlook, and he's really looking at positive ways that people can make a difference when it comes to being a bit more resilient and sustainable for the
sure.
future.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interaction, and it looks like a really good course.
Yeah, it does.
So even if people haven't signed up for that one, I'd recommend coming along this afternoon. It's at 1 o'clock at the Community Education Centre on Donald Bruce Road. And, you know, if anybody wants to come, they're welcome just to turn up to that one.
Great.
Yeah. This afternoon session's on sustainable building. So if anyone's
right.
interested in that, come along.
Yeah, really topical. And I believe, hasn't he done some big sustainable living stuff down, was it in Christchurch, done some, Ian, the tutor, he's a really knowledgeable guy, actually. He's done a lot of stuff, hasn't he?
He has a lot of experience, and he works in the area of sustainable and eco-building with the city council. That's right. His work at the moment. But he's had a lot of background dealing with water issues in Canterbury and all sorts of
that's
things.
That's it, yes, yeah, and you've done something down south. Okay, so that's this afternoon, 1 till 3. And then there's Toastmasters are doing another course. They're excellent, Toastmasters. I really rate them.
They are, absolutely. So, and that course is for anybody who would just like to be better in terms of communication, not just public speaking, but if you have to ever speak at meetings or just communicate your point of view. Wonderful.
Yeah. I went on a training course last year with Talk, who the guy who runs that, it's a public speaking course and presentations, and he was the world champion Toastmasters speaker. And he rated it so highly for people building up their confidence as well. So if you're perhaps, as you say, just having to talk generally in meetings, not necessarily just for presentations, then Toastmasters can really help you with that and can help you learn all these little sneaky techniques and skills that actually can be quite empowering and just change your whole communication level. It doesn't have to be just for people that get up and give big speeches. So that's speechcraft. That's on a Tuesday, 7 till 9 for 7 weeks, and that's starting...
It actually starts on the 11th of May. It starts a week later than advertised because the materials have to come from the States.
Right.
With that course, if people do join that course, they also get a membership to Toastmasters for 6 months, which means that you can attend the other meetings if you wish.
Right.
And you can also work towards a Toastmasters qualification with that course.
Sure.
So some of the things that you do will give you credits towards that certificate.
Oh, excellent.
Excellent.
Okay, so let's. There's a computing skills course as well, which is also really good. Looking at different choice of programs, and that's running on different days. So look that one up. Another one that sort of tickled my fancy is a social media course with the wonderful Brent Simpson, who he's actually on the radio. He's very good. Brent Simpson is doing another social media. Now he did a course last term, which I heard from a variety of people was a huge success on the website building. So what's this one going to be on then?
So this one's going a step further than that, I guess, to look at how you can use a variety of online social media. I guess it's called Web 2.0. So things like social networking sites, you know, even things like Twitter, how you can use those things to communicate with other people, you know, whether it's marketing or whether it's to do with a community organisation or cause that you're involved with. There's a lot of ways to get out there now.
Great. Okay, so that's that one. And there's a first aid certificate, which is always good. Everybody should have done one of those. Now, I like this one. Home cheese making. That Catherine Mowbray, that sounds like a great fun one.
I'm very excited about that course because Catherine Mowbray is like the guru of home cheese making in New Zealand.
Is she?
She is. She travels the country teaching these courses and she just has an amazing amount of experience. She can make all sorts of cheeses into quite practical homemade recipes. She'll also have her book there. She has a new book on offer so people can purchase that at the course. But sounds like a lovely evening.
That's just a one-off, isn't it?
She'll give a demonstration of how to make homemade mozzarella, but instead of using buffalo milk, it just uses ordinary shop-bought cow's milk. And then you get a chance to eat some cheese and have a glass of wine.
Oh, yeah. I think I like... Oh, darn. It's on Thursday night. I'm supposed to be doing another show, but I think I might have to sneak off for that one. And then you've got so much. You've got a real wealth of stuff. Woodwork skills, sewing skills, and Spanish and French for travellers, two different courses, and Italian. So, and of course, there's the Torreo course that's running as well. So there's a whole heap. There is basically something in there for everybody. So I suggest, very strongly suggest, that you get onto the website. What's the rather new, funky website that Fiona has done?
Yes, and I actually attended the website design course and learned how to do that term.
I've got to say, it was brilliant. I was actually chatting to Fiona off air and saying that my partner and I were incredibly impressed with that website, so impressed that he thought she must have set up a business doing it and was going to give her a call and say, would you build mine, please? I had to inform that, she just did that in her spare time because she's a, you know, Wonder Woman. Anyway, so Fiona, what is the website for Waiheke Adult Education?
The website is waihekecomed.co.nz, or you can just Google Waiheke Community Education. Or you can give us a ring, of course, or come down to see us the old-fashioned way. Our phone number is 372-6417, and we're located at 11 Donald Bruce Road beside the Recreation Centre.
Fantastic. Oh, well, thank you so much for coming in, Fiona. It's always a pleasure to chat with you. And, basically, if you have even the slightest inclination to get involved, come down, check out the course, come along to the first session and see what you think. Because there are some wonderful courses. I know I've taken a few myself, and they're just really... And they're a great way to meet people as well, as being enjoyable and sort of educational and fun. So, yeah, thanks very much, Fiona. And we'll speak to you soon. Okay?
No problem. Thanks, Emma.
You're listening to Island Life, Waiheke People, Events and Issues, brought to you by Island, Art, Craft, Giftware, Clothing and Bric-a-Brac, Ocean View Road, Onirua.
This morning I woke up thinking I haven't got everything fully organised, and now I've got wonderful guests coming out of my ears. I would like to introduce and welcome to the studio Rebecca Potts, who's just been manning the stall or personing a stall for the Green Party outside the library. And we've just got together and decided it's really important that she comes and chats on the radio. But welcome.
Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity.
No problem. So, what the stall out there? I haven't had time to go out and have a look because I'm stuck here in the studio. What's that all about, Rebecca?
Well, this is part of a movement that's happening all across New Zealand, and also in support of International Earth Day. So there's things happening all around the world. And what we're doing in New Zealand at the moment is green activists, Forest and Bird, Greenpeace, the Green Party, and lots of other green activists have decided to celebrate International Earth Day by making sure that our government now doesn't let the conservation land being opened up to mining in New Zealand.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm tongue-tied, which doesn't happen very often for me. But coming here, part of the reason we came here to this country is because of the whole clean green reputation. And I've got to be honest, this mining thing, can't get my head around it. It just doesn't seem logical, does it?
It is incredible, and the thought that, I guess one thing that I just can't believe is that the idea of not only opening up precious conservation land for mining, but to open it up to mine coal just seems to me unbelievable in this day and age.
Yeah, a fossil fuel of which we are running out anyway, so it just doesn't seem very sensible or indeed, why would you want to rip up some of our national parks?
I think it doesn't even make sense in the short term, even from an economic point of view. I mean, these things are always short term. It's always about people now wanting money now. And the interesting thing about this is for often one feels that one's having to sort of fight against money and saying, well, we're just doing it for other value systems. But this is one of the amazing things is that if you actually look at the finances of it, it doesn't even really make sense from an economic point of view.
Really?
Because the loss of tourism from opening up the mining and the very short-term gain, and most of the money from mining, of course, doesn't stay in New Zealand. It goes elsewhere to transnational corporations. It doesn't even make economic sense. Nonetheless, the government is certainly planning to go ahead with it, and we've got a unique chance, really, at the moment. The submissions are open for people to have their say till next week, till the 4th of May.
Yeah.
And so what we've been doing on the stall today is, first of all, getting people to sign a petition legislation that will be presented to Parliament, and as well as that, encouraging people to go online and put in a submission, which is very easy to do, and they've got till next week to do that.
Right, okay, so let's talk about how they put in a submission. What do they do?
You can, very easy through Google to get to a submission, either through the Green Party web page, Greenpeace or Forest and Bird, and if you put in mining on any of those sites, you'll quite quickly get to the chance to put an online submission, and they will take you, and it only can take a couple of minutes, or if you want to, of course, put a longer submission, and that's fine.
Sure.
But I think at the moment, probably the most important thing is people putting
just
their
personal
point of view, very short, succinct, and actually doing it. And I think we all get submissioned out, but I think this is a moment where, at the moment, the polls are that about 50% of New Zealanders coming out against it. I actually think a lot more people are against it if they actually listen to it and stand up and be counted.
Absolutely. I think there's a certain amount of apathy going on there, which we really need to sort of knock on the head, because I'm with you on that. I do believe that a lot more people will be against it if you actually took a proper poll, and indeed if people were better informed. But from the perspective of doing this submission, having done it myself this week, it's really simple, it's really, really short. It doesn't have to be a big deal. It's something that you can do in a couple of minutes, but it's something that's really, really important for the future of the country, really, isn't it?
Well, it's irreversible. I mean, once the damage that you can do to our quite, you know, delicate ecosystems is absolutely irreversible. And the thought of doing that on Great Barrier and the Coromandel and down in the South Island, it's why we think our generation at the moment should be able to make these decisions for future generations. Yeah. I just don't think we have the right to do that.
No, absolutely. I mean, if you look at sort of the whole sort of ecological principles of sustainability, then really you're looking at making sure that the choices you make today don't negatively affect the planet and the resources for the planet for the future. And how can anybody possibly say that that mining would fit in with those principles? It just doesn't. It basically is, as you say, something that will affect the future of the country and of the resources that we have. And also, it's not necessary. There are alternatives out there. And my view is that rather than spending the money on the mining, spend the money on developing new resources, new types of technologies for different types of energy, because that's what we need, because the fossil fuels are not going to carry on and carry on. They are going to be running out, and so this is a very, very short-term solution, isn't it?
It's actually had international coverage against New Zealand too. There's been articles in The Economist and another mainstream media internationally saying, how is it possible that New Zealand can you know, say it's clean and green and now open up its conservation land for mining. So there's a lot of pressure, I think, on New Zealand to make the right decision, and make the right decision. We just have to do it now, and this is our one opportunity at the moment to do something about it.
Absolutely. And not only within the sort of popular media is our clean green image being questioned, but within the scientific literature as well that I've looked at, there's starting to be, I would say over the last 5, 6, 7 years, there's starting to be papers, scientific papers coming out actually questioning that and questioning sort of the direction that New Zealand is going into from a conservation perspective and how clean and green. In fact, I've got a paper sitting on my desk at home entitled How Clean and Green is New Zealand Really? And these are scientific journals, these are papers that go into scientific journals. And if our own scientists are querying where we're going and what we're doing, then really we should be listening. So the thing that you can do, that everybody that is listening can do, is to go and make that submission. And as Rebecca says, you can get there through a variety of ways. The Greenpeace website, that's how I did it, the Green Party and Forest and Bird,
The Ministry of Economic Development,
if
you put them in, that's the main thing, so you can do it through them as well.
Yeah, okay, so that's really important. So get out there and get your fingers going onto that submission page and get one in, because honestly, if you do nothing else this weekend, I'd say that that's a really important thing for you to do. Okay, thank you so much for coming in, Rebecca.
And thanks so much for giving us the opportunity.
And I'd just like to welcome our next guest into the studio. We have the lovely Neil Morrison here. Nevi. I'm sorry, Neil Morrison is an actor, isn't he? I do apologise. I was not that you look at all like Neil Morrison. But anyway, it's Nevi Morrison. Hello and welcome to the studio.
Kia ora. Thank you very much for having me on.
Kia ora. So tell me a little bit about your background, Nevi, would you please? Because we were just chatting off air a couple of minutes ago, and it sounds really interesting. So you've been on the island on and off for some time.
I won't go too far back. When I came back from Canada after living 16 years in Canada, I came back to Waiheke Island in 1982, lived here for a couple of years, built the geodesic dome on top of the cliff at Onitangi, the Pacific One Earth Centre. And at that time, I did some programs with children at Te Huarihi Primary School on learning peaceful relationships, which went really, really well. And then in 1990, I moved up north to Honeymoon Valley in the far north and founded the Kohi Aroha spiritual community. And I was there for about 16 years, and I came back to the island 5 years ago and started my little electrical business, Pooh Bear Power.
Right.
Many people know the bear in the back of the car on the island.
Oh, most definitely,
and,
yes.
And 20 years ago on the island, I gave talks on the earth changes.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so, and that leads us nicely into what we want to talk about today. And so you're giving a talk tomorrow, aren't you, at the Breathing Spaces studio? Tell us a little bit about what that's about, would you, Nevi?
Yeah, well, the talk's at 4 p.m. tomorrow afternoon at the Breathing Space in Moa Ave. I'm going to talk,
and just come a touch
I'm going
closer,
to talk about the 2012 shift of the ages. And the reason I want to do this is because there's quite a lot of information out there that focuses more on the apocalyptic side of it, the gloom and doom, end of the world stuff.
Right.
And my talk is to focus on what the wisdom keepers of the ancient cultures talked about, the Mayans, the intertribal medicine societies of Native American Indians, and many other cultures all talked about this time. And it's actually the end of a cycle. We're at the end of a cycle of history of 5,125 years. And there's only five generations that have experienced the end of these five cycles. These five cycles in total make up 26,525 years. So we're at the end of what is known as the Great Cycle as well, the precession
right.
of the equinoxes. And the ancients said at the end of these cycles, the planet always goes through of quite a powerful shift, and this is the shift we're coming into, and we're only 3 years away from it, and we're very privileged to be on the planet at the time of this amazing shift. So it's happened
right.
many times before.
Okay. And from what we're talking about the movie 2012, and so it's with relation to sort of almost, I don't know whether it's putting it too strongly, but talking about the other side of the picture as from that movie. Now, I don't know much about that movie, so it's talking about these culture shifts.
Well, the ancients have said as we move towards this particular time, there was an increase because of the way the planet moves and the precision of the equinox through the 12 zodiac signs over the period of 26,000 years. The further we are from the center of the galaxy, the more we're disconnected from ourselves, from the earth,
right.
Connected to our source, whatever you want to call a source. And we're going through this period now, and the great correction occurs, and the old will collapse, but the old collapses of its own accord. And what's going to happen, we're seeing it in the economy, we're seeing increase in global warming, there's lots of wars and stuff like that, we're seeing
sure.
this sort of stuff happening. And most recently, we've seen the eruption of the Icelandic volcano, Jafajallaurkil.
A well-pronounced,
which is quite
yes.
hard to pronounce. And we're seeing what a small effect of one volcano does to all the air transport in just a week. So
absolutely.
This is increasing, but to focus on this as being the problem, and many groups are focusing on the end of the world, and the more fundamentalist groups are focusing on this, is actually to miss the whole point. The whole point is a shift in consciousness to a high level of awareness, and that's what my talk's about, is focusing on the shift in consciousness to a high level of awareness.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, this sounds very interesting. And so this is happening tomorrow at the Breathing Space Studio. Remind me which road that's on, please. I can walk past it when I do my walking.
It's on Moa Ave.
Moa Ave. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's at 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah.
Great.
Can I tell just a very tiny quick story before
we got time? Yes, of course.
Okay. In 1995, there was a white buffalo born in Jamesville, Wisconsin. There was never been a white buffalo before born. And the Intertribal Medicine Society said, when the white buffalo is born, that will be the time that shows that we're coming close to the end of the old culture and the new one. And when that buffalo was born to a white family, they didn't know anything about it. And an Indian man, whose name that translates as he that searches for buffalo, had in his dream that the white buffalo was born, and he travelled with his wife and his daughter in this old car. Took them 3 days to get there. When they got there, he told them the story of the legend, and he said, "Can I see the father of the white buffalo?" And they said, "I'm sorry, he died this morning of a brain aneurysm." And the legend said that the father buffalo would die within 3 days of the birth, signifying the death of the patriarchal culture and the birth of the new culture. So this is just one of the ancient signs that are pointing to the importance of these times.
Oh, that's really moving story. You've actually given me goosebumps actually telling me that story. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, thank you so much for coming on, Nevi. I'm so glad we could manage to get you into the studio today in time for advertising as well, bringing people together to come and listen to your talk tomorrow. So it's at 4 o'clock at the Breathing Space Studios, and
bring a cushion.
I was just about to say, bring a cushion, a foldable chair, a beanbag, whatever actually you need to sit on, because there aren't provided there, and we want to make sure that everybody's comfortable, and there will just be a small koha.
$2 to get in, just to cover the cost. And the reason I've chosen the Breathing Space is we sit in a circle, not somebody up giving a lecture.
Yes,
and it is about bringing us all together.
Yeah, and it's an interactive kind of talk as well. Yeah. That's lovely. All right, well, thank you so much for coming into the studio, and I wish you all the best with that.
Have a lovely
And hello and welcome. We have our next guest in the studio, Dee Ostrin, from the Artworks Tenants Theatre. So hello, Dee.
Artworks Tenants Theatre.
Sorry, I was because I was watching you take your headphones off thinking she can't hear what's going on.
I can't hear anything with those
on. But she did hear me say that. Sorry. So from the...
No, I've got lots of hats.
I know, so I just mixed a few up for
you
there.
So you just sort of threw them together. You didn't get pro tem or anything else.
And I did it so smoothly as well.
Absolutely seamlessly. No, I do have lots of hats. I am in the Theatre Society.
You are.
And so I do run the bookings at the Artworks Theatre.
Uh-huh.
And I am in the Tenants Group. And I do a lot of other things around here as well. People see me a lot here, but I'm around. I have other things as well. So I have lots of hats. But today I think I'm just sort of me.
You are. And we're talking about what's going on with the Artworks Complex. We thought it was about time that we actually got on the air and started chatting about it, just briefly to fill in, because we've both had a lot of people coming up to us or emailing us this week, haven't we, asking us what's going on.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the submissions have closed.
They have.
It was a very extremely short submission period. Mm. The information about the proposed concepts plans only came out on the 7th, I think, was the first opportunity to see anything, and submissions closed on the 21st. So if you find you have concerns, it's kind of too late for the first part of it. But hopefully there will still be opportunities, because I noticed when I completed my online submission form, one of the last questions was, would you be interested in being part of a focus group?
Yeah.
So there may still be some other chances for input or feedback, or whatever.
I think so. Well, I'm hoping so myself.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I suspect we got a fair few submissions in from Waiheke folk. I know that I managed to put a last minute thing up on Facebook for it, and I had about 10 or 12 people, I can't remember exactly, that Waihikians that actually managed to make a submission that hadn't realised the closing date. I hadn't even realised it was happening, some of them, although they knew that the artwork's complex, but they hadn't realised they had the opportunity to make comments.
Yeah.
So I know that that was just sort of a last ditch thing on the day of the submission.
I think several of us were sending out lots of emails that day saying, look, here's your chance, here's the link, just go online really quick and easy, just tick in the blanks and put your comments in. And
So I would imagine that they're sitting there going, oh my God, the these Wahikians again, but bloody well good. Let's get them into some dialogue. So, okay, let's leave the politics aside because we agreed we're not going to go into that because we'll be here all day. And there's a lot of dispute about actually sort of the of what's going on or what isn't going on, and that's what we wanted to talk about. Mm. So let's talk about the information centre. What's going on with that?
There, a lot of people were thinking that the information centre is going to be relocated down to the wharf. Now, that apparently was brought up at one point, but at least at this stage now, everyone has realised that that's really a nonsense because you get all these tourists coming off the boats and they go to the information centre and hang around waiting to find out what to do, and then they've missed their buses. So the information centre has to be in the main information, the main tourist area, which is Onaroa.
Yeah.
And having it up here at Artworks has been fantastic. It's the first bus stop, you know, first main bus stop when you get to the top of the hill. It's at the side of a lot of things that a lot of tourists come for.
Yeah.
It's a relaxed area, and you know it's a very easy to see. You walk, go up the hill, and you first thing you see is the visitor information center, which is kind of good. Having said that, the with the proposed development, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on here for a long time, and it's not going to be a particularly pleasant place to be.
No.
And it is in the site of the corner of what is proposed to be the new part of the building that's going to be the library, and so it has to go somewhere.
Yeah,
they I would have liked to see it go back where it originally was, but apparently that was a road reserve area, although they say it's now been incorporated into the site. But I've heard that no, it won't go there. They are looking for premises down in the village.
Yes.
Which is going to be a bit sad for Artworks because it's going to mean that, you know, a lot of people will go to the Visitor Information Centre
and
first
come up
and then not get back up the hill because there is that hill to consider.
Yeah, and that leads us very nicely into what is actually going to be here at the what the plans are for the Artworks complex. One of the things that I've heard unofficially, admittedly, is that really, the council are hoping to make this less community run and a more sort of professional environment as a whole. And as such, with this first stage of the development, which is the new library and combined service centre, so these studios that we're sitting in right now and the studios along this road, they're going to go, aren't they?
I've heard various things. I've heard that they're all going, and then I've also heard that maybe the two closest to the theatre, one or two closest to the theatre, which are currently the theatre office, where I spend a lot of my working time, and the story centre, may still be kept at least for a while, but it looks like the other ones closer to the actual building site are definitely going to be knocked down. Probably they're talking about the building starting in September, October, November, somewhere around there, so for the summer. So it looks like the studios, most of them anyway, are going to go. Now, even if the Story Centre studio was kept, the Story Centre is not staying.
No.
Because Tanya's made a decision that it's just not a place where she would want to. I mean, she tells stories to kids.
Exactly.
The courtyard is a safe play area. It's a, you know, it's a lovely space for that. But when it's a building site, it's going to be noisy. It's going to be dusty. It's going to be a building site. It's not going to be a great place for kids to be running around. So they've already decided that they're going to be just closing for the duration, and we'll see what happens next. So as far as other things, council has assured people that they're going to try and find other premises for them for the duration, but what that means, who knows? I don't know.
I mean, so really what we're saying is
there's going to be the library.
Yeah, we know there's going to be a library, and that's pretty much all we know for definite right now. You know, it's a difficult time, and also Auckland City Council are going through the biggest change they've ever gone through with the whole transition. And so how much of what's decided now could potentially change. Next year remains to be seen. Because
you have to remember that in the Hubbard administration, we'd already been approved all this previous consultation over the years that have been going on. They'd already approved the budget and everything for the new library. But then when Hubbard went out and Banks came in,
all of a sudden
that whole budget got canned.
Yeah.
So although we had the budget, it was all set to go with just the library here, and the service centre would stay in Austin.
Yeah.
Changes, you know. So who knows what a next change may be.
Exactly.
All we can do is hope that someone brilliant's going to get in there, going to say, hold on. The Waiheke people have said time and time and time that they don't want the service centre in Onirua.
Yeah.
So let's do something. But who knows?
I mean, I can't help but get slightly political here. I've just got to make this one comment. And I said I wouldn't.
Emma, so on you.
But me thinks that the timing of getting people out of these studios and getting the building work started before the 1st of November, oh, God, you know, could that just be a coincidence? I don't think so. Because the whole thing is that once they've started to build the library and combined service centre, it's much more unlikely to be cancelled than if they haven't actually started, they haven't booked the contractors. And that is why I think that all of a sudden, that is why that the submission time was shorter. Oh, I can't help myself. That is why the submission...
Shall I get my, my what do you call that, gag out and be ready to stick it in when we get controversial here?
Okay. Oh, well, look, you know, it's just, yeah, I'll stop there because otherwise I could just go into a bit of a rant and...
And then we could have a meltdown in the office.
We could. And I've got to finish the rest of the show, so let's be honest. But look, it's been great talking to you. And I think the key message that we want to communicate here is that the library bit is definitely happening. The studios, as much as we know, some, maybe all of them, are going within the next few months. But that is it, because there is just that is it for as far as we know as to what's happening. Definitely, these other plans, the so-called master plan, which we have seen the link for on the website, but some council people themselves aren't even aware of it. Shock. Because they thought that didn't exist, but we have seen it. The funding isn't secured for that, so there's no point in people getting aerated. And I know, and I'm telling myself off here as well a little bit, because I tend to, because nothing is finally decided. There's no funding allocated for that. And as you rightly said, when Banks came in last time, everything changed. And boy, so much is going to change. I believe with what's going to happen with the next time. So we'll just have to be calm and patient. Yeah. But in saying that, if there is any opportunity to make a comment, if there are any other focus groups that are brought forth, we need to make sure that we have our active parts of the community sort of speaking and
ready
taking part in those. Mm. Yeah.
And if anyone does have anything that they want to say, you can always ring the council and say, look, I want to talk to somebody about your proposed artworks development. You know, hey, the call center's there 24/7.
Yeah, how far you get with that, good luck. But,
well, yeah, but every little bit, I suppose.
Absolutely.
But there are a lot of issues. There are a lot of issues that are still very, you know, unresolved.
Yeah, you're quite right. Mm. Oh, listen, thank you so much for coming in, Dee. And I know she's gonna smack me on the bum afterwards, because I said to her beforehand, I promise we won't get into politics. I won't start. But anyway, thank you so much for coming in. And I think you and I will be talking probably over the next few months about this, and just making sure that we keep people up to date. So I'd really welcome if you come back in and chat with us about this further, as and when there is something to say.
Not a problem. Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks very much, Dee. So we've got our next guest in the studio, and I'd like to welcome Kim from the Community Art Gallery. Welcome.
Hi there.
Hi, you need to come a little bit closer. That's lovely. Okay, so what's going on with the art gallery at the moment? I believe you've got some new exhibition that opened. When was that?
The last weekend. Yeah. This is the last weekend of the current shows.
That's right.
So we've got Small Things and Hidden Treasures.
That's right, yes. Yeah. I mentioned that on a previous show. Yes, so we've got that going on at the moment.
And just saying one thing about Hidden Treasures, tomorrow at 3:00, we've got the final biddings for the silent auction that's up there at the moment.
Right.
So anyone wants to come along to that, then very welcome.
Great. Yeah. Great. Okay. And what time's that happening?
The biddings finishes at 3:00.
Yep.
So it's probably a good idea for people to come up a little bit earlier, maybe half past two, quarter to three.
And have a look and see if they're interested in bidding on anything.
Some
themselves.
Wonderful works up there.
Yes, there are some beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. Okay, so then what have we got coming on next?
Coming up, we're turning the shows around next week. and opening on Friday, mm-hmm. next week, 30th.
Can I just say, I'm really impressed with how quickly you managed to do that. It's a very quick turnaround, isn't it?
And we don't have to go to the gym that week.
Yeah.
It's pretty busy. And so, yes, the shows are opening to the public on Friday at 6 o'clock. Uh-huh. Everyone's welcome. In the main gallery, we've got Natural Selections 4, presented by Crombie Lockwood. This is National Ceramic Invitational Exhibition. And the way this particular show works is that ceramicists invite their own guest exhibitors. So it's kind of a partner-up exhibition. It's a really interesting exhibition.
Yeah.
This is the fourth one. It's every 2 years, I think. And this year, the original guest exhibitors are inviting their own guests, so it's kind of come around full circle a little bit.
Oh,
and so
okay.
We've got ceramicists like Andy Barrett-Hagen, Annette Bull, Sherrod Honey, and the special in-profile artist this year is Christine Boswick.
Right, okay. Yeah. And what sort of work does she do?
Her work is beautiful platters. There's a whole range of her vessels.
Yeah,
Just really gorgeous, fine work, and there's a whole range of work coming mm-hmm. in. Mike Perry does these wonderful, colourful creations, and I think hopefully there's a chap coming on a motorbike,
one of his,
and people will know his work if they see it. It's just very quirky and
excellent. Oh, we like quirky here on Waiheke, don't we?
Yeah, we do. In the small gallery, we've got Liam Davidson presenting a new collection of intaglio work on wax tiles. That show is called The Naked Gesture. And then in the annex, Sapphire Pastel, who's a Waiheke artist.
Yes.
With a new collection of paintings and collage work.
Fantastic. Yeah. So that's all three of those are opening Friday?
Yes. And Natural Selections has got a special gala event opening on the Thursday night.
Right.
At 6 o'clock, between 6 and 8. And that's a ticketed event. And tickets are available up at the gallery at the moment.
Okay. And so they can come along and get some tickets beforehand if they wish.
Yeah.
Other than that, the main sort of public opening is on the Friday.
Yeah.
Excellent. Oh, well, listen, thank you very much, because I know you've had to actually dash out of the gallery to come and speak with me today. But thank you very much for coming along. So if anybody is interested in any of those pieces or in any of those pieces of work, do make sure you pop along. Now, how long are they on for, actually, Kim, just before you go?
The show's on from Friday the 30th through till Monday the 24th of May.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So sort of 3.5 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks. Excellent. Okay, well, listen, thank you so much for coming on, Kim. That's brilliant. And did you want me to mention something there?
Oh, just that we've got Reclaim to Fame coming up again.
Oh, yes, of course.
And the entry forms, just encouraging everyone to jump in and get creating. We've got the entry forms up there.
Excellent.
That's the show where we have pieces made out of recycled work, recycled materials.
Yes, absolutely.
Sue Pickernell's curating it again this year.
Great.
And it's always a fantastic show for everyone to get involved in.
Absolutely. And that's open to all sorts of different people as well and groups. So everybody come along, think about sort of creating some artistic piece and getting it exhibited at the gallery. How cool is that? Excuse me. Okay, well, listen, thank you so much for coming along, Kim, and we'll speak to you next month about what's going on. Well, we have just time for our final guest, and we really could not have a week of Island Life without the lovely, the wonderful, the very ginger. It is Mr. Gary Wilton. Hello, Gary.
Hi, Emma. Thanks for that introduction. You're too kind.
Well, you did threaten me off air, so I thought I should. He did threaten me. Actually, I will just say this with getting me, depending on what I said to him for his introduction. So anyway, let's move on before we go into any more childish bickering, as Gary and I are wont to do. What's going on this weekend or this week?
A couple of things happening this weekend.
The rats.
Organised by groups on the island.
Yep.
Firstly, Forest and Bird are organising a pest control workshop this afternoon.
Yep.
Down at the Surfdale Community Hall.
Okay.
From 1 o'clock.
And is it a 3 hour? It's 1 till 4, isn't it?
I think they've said 1 till 4, but I don't think people should be too intimidated by that. I think if you can get there at 1, stay for as long as you find it useful.
Yeah.
And take out of it what you can.
Oh, okay, something just started buzzing in my ear then. Okay, yeah, absolutely. So if you can only pop down for an hour or so, it's still worth going. And that's a free of charge workshop, isn't it?
That's right.
And, of course, we had Andy Spence on here last month talking about, we were talking about the Bellbird release.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, and also just for maintaining your own property for just ordinary reasons, it's really important that we all contribute to trying to get rats in under control as much as possible.
Yeah, well, I think everybody's got their own personal view on rat bait and rat baiting, and we respect that. What we try to do within council is to look after the big and most precious areas, so that's around Atifai Fenua and Whakanefa.
Yeah.
So we're doing a bit of work in Kuakarau and on Otangi Sports Park to expand the managed area around Whakanefa and hopefully mean that we've got less rat reinvasion into Whakanefa and the bellbirds get as good a chance as they can.
Yeah, absolutely. But as well as that, the point I'm trying to make is that it's actually up to individuals as well to contribute. You cannot just expect the council to do everything from this perspective, because that won't work.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important that people take the opportunity themselves. And so I think that this workshop is really well timed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great. And it's free of charge.
Yeah, and it should certainly give you the information you need just to set up a couple of bait stations on your 800 square metres and do your bit, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, for everybody to do their bit. And also to make contact with people that if you're not really sure how or what to do, then there are groups on the island that are only too willing to come and help you and show you and give you advice on what you need. Because, I mean, before I got here, I didn't know. And I was lucky enough to have people like yourself and Andy Spence tell me what it is I should be doing to make sure that that I rat-proof my area.
And now you know so much.
So much, and yet need to know so more. Anyway, moving on before we again fall into our childish bickering, what else is going on? Now, there's a series of emails that went out yesterday from Janice Reeve about the watering at the Totoki Reserve. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, Totoki Reserve on Wilmer Road. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple of issues with the drought. We planted around 1,000 trees last winter, and they're naturally getting pretty stressed now.
Yeah.
And we also have some of the best Tarari trees in this end of the island, in around the entrance to Totoki Reserve on Wilmer Road. Tarari are particularly prone to drought and will just die off if they don't get enough water. We've got, I think, about a dozen trees there. We've lost 4 of them already this summer. And basically the idea is we've got some water on site now. And if anybody can turn up with a couple of buckets at 2 o'clock this afternoon and just work away for an hour or so bucketing water to both the new plantings and the mature tararis, it will give them the best chance we can.
Yeah, absolutely. And I spoke to Janice myself this morning and I was saying, look, you know, we haven't got a couple of buckets. Are you bringing a supply of spares? And she assured me that yes, she will be doing so, bringing as many buckets as she can. So even if you haven't got your own bucket, I know it sounds silly, but if you haven't, then come along as well and just sort of get involved and try and help, because it's really important, because so many people have given their time doing this the tree planting, and for us to let them die now when we can avoid it, it just seems like such a shame and a waste of time, energy and effort from everybody. So a little bit of effort, and I really think that if there's quite a group, then it could only be sort of like an hour. It shouldn't be much more than an hour of people's time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that people can do. Bring the kids; they can get involved. They can carry buckets if they can walk. They can carry water. I mean, what do you have children for if it isn't for doing duties like that? I don't know. Lip and act. Get them working for the keep. That's what I say. Okay, so anything else that we're going to talk about?
I think I guess it, with the drought, it's just a fact of life, really. It's obviously quite an extreme drought, but it's worth pointing out that of our native trees on the island here, 99.5% of all the native trees have survived unscathed through this drought. This is the sort of thing they've evolved to cope with.
Yeah.
And the ones that do die are the ones that usually we've modified their environment, or we've put them in somewhere where they wouldn't normally be.
Yeah.
And they're more stressed because of that. So it's nice just to be able to, if we can make that little bit of effort to get them through. But people shouldn't worry. It's one of those emotional things to see a large tree or a tree that you've planted die, but the future of the island is safe.
Yeah, it is. It's not. We're not at apocalypse time just yet.
No.
Okay. Well, listen. Thank you very much for popping in, Gary, because I know you've got a busy day as well. And that is pretty much it from us. It is 1 minute past 12, and I think everybody should be actually getting ready to go to one of the workshops this afternoon, or get down to Wilmer Road Reserve at 2 o'clock, isn't it? To come and water some plants, and I'll hopefully see you there. And that's me for this month, and thank you very much for listening.
You've been listening to the interviews from last Saturday's Island Life, our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. Island Life is brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, and the interviews are replayed on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. They're also available as a download from our website www.waihekeradio.org.nz. Island Life is brought to you by Island, the shop with Waiheke's most eclectic collection of local art, craft, giftware, clothing and bric-a-brac. Island, Ocean View Road, Onirola.